There is only one church, with only one body and one head, which is Christ. But the vicar of Christ is Peter, and Peter's successor. That is, the successor of Peter, the Pope, represents Christ on earth as head of the church. And he continues, there are two swords, spiritual and temporal. And the sword is a metaphor for power. The temporal sword is in the power of Peter. You hear that? The temporal sword is in the power of the Pope. Both are in the power of the church, the spiritual sword and the temporal sword. The temporal sword is to be used for the church, and the spiritual sword used by the church. The spiritual sword by the priest, the temporal sword by kings and commanders, but at the will and the permission of the priest. The one sword, then, should be under the other, and temporal power must be subject to spiritual power. Bold and rather extravagant claims Boniface is making. It turns out most of the temporal powers in Europe were not very impressed. Kings did not have a habit of obeying popes. If you've got this stereotype of the all-powerful monolithic medieval church, then drop it, because the church is not all-powerful. It's involved in power politics. It's a very powerful institution, therefore it's always being contested. Power is always double-edged. Boniface VIII himself died shortly after a traumatic experience in which French soldiers nearly succeeded in kidnapping him and taking him to be the captive of the King of France. A few years later, the next pope, or rather the pope after the next pope, does in fact move to France and basically becomes captive to the King of France. And the papacy becomes a tool of the King of France for about 70 years. That's what power gets you. It's double-edged. You have power, you're part of a fight for power. But the popes win a few as well. They have spiritual weapons that are of real social consequence. For instance, in one power struggle, the Pope Innocent III excommunicates King John of England. Excommunication means that King John doesn't get to take communion, which is what, that is, he doesn't get to participate in Mass, which means that he cannot receive the kind of grace that he needs to get into a state of grace in his soul, which is what he needs to go to heaven. Without the sacrament, he is bound for hell. And people took this very seriously. You see, what it means is the Pope has a weapon that is more powerful than any sword made of steel. He can not only kill you, he can send you to hell. It's a very powerful weapon. And the Pope went even further. He didn't just excommunicate King John. He didn't just release all of King John's subjects from obedience to the king. He did that. But even more, he put the whole kingdom of England under interdict. Interdict means that nobody in the kingdom gets the sacraments. The Mass cannot be performed. Christian burial cannot be performed. Confessions can't be heard. Nobody gets the grace that they need to escape hell. Enormously powerful. And in this case, I think, cruel weapon. People worried about whether they're going to hell because their king is having a fight with the Pope. Well, this is a fight that the king lost. He caved in, and he made England an official fief of the Pope and paid 1,000 marks a year to the Pope. That didn't last real long, but it actually did get John some benefits. The Pope obliges John by declaring the Magna Carta null and void. Remember, this is King John who signed the Magna Carta, giving up some of his royal prerogatives to his barons. The Pope said, no, this was signed without my permission, therefore it's null and void. The King John gets his prerogatives back. So, this is power politics again. You cave into the Pope and things go okay, sometimes. So, you can't believe this this picture of the monolithic medieval papacy. Let me tell you one brief story. In the 11th century, we've got Pope Gregory VII lining up against Emperor Henry IV. The Pope deposes Henry IV, or threatens to. Henry has to actually repent, walking in the snow outside the castle at Canossa in Tuscany in Italy, to show his repentance. The Pope restores him after having threatened to release all of his subjects from obedience. Later on, Henry deposes the Pope. And in fact, he invades Rome. The Pope has to hole up in his castle in the Vatican, that famous round castle that you can see in pictures of the Vatican. And he gets rescued by a Robert Giscard down from Naples. It's a mess. The people in Rome hate the Pope because these folks from Naples are trashing the place in order to rescue the Pope from the emperor. So what happens is there's this high point of the medieval papacy when the Emperor Henry IV is repenting in the snow in Canossa. A few years later, the Pope is holed up like a rat in a castle, and everyone hates him. And he dies a broken man. High point and low point within a few years of each other.